CliffCentral.com. Cracking. We've got a lot to do this morning, and we got lots of people popping in and out. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go, and that's I hope right. You do too. All right, so a lot of people in the comments, Snae is saying here, and this is such a big story, I can't believe I don't know anything about it, and I'm not going to be able to add any value here, but this is just one of those mafia state stories
that
seems to be going on in the background, this Tabo Bester story. And Snae says, it's got to be the craziest thing I've heard in a while. I didn't pay attention to it at first, but now it's like a docuseries I can't stop watching. So I've heard the name.
Yeah.
And first of all, I got to say, it's really confusing, and it shows you where South Africa's at the moment, that his name is Tabo Bester. All right. I mean, like, just off the bat, I want to say that's pretty wild. Fjord says it is like a Netflix docu in real time. The story's getting wilder by the day.
It truly is. And there's just so many layers, but what I can appreciate is some real good journalism that still exists out there. There is a timeline that unpacks the full story. But all I can tell you is that in the past, maybe over 10 years, Tabo Bester has single-handedly fooled everybody, not only fooled people.
Who is this guy?
He's a con man. But he's like a super con man. And he started a very long time ago back in the day. He was formerly known as the Facebook rapist. So he would call you up and say, I work for this and that agency. We're looking for models, or we're looking for music video girls, or we're looking for actresses and actors, come through. He would meet up with you and then essentially just rape you and steal from you. And I say that lightly, but a lot of people have come forward as victims of Tabo. So he got arrested initially on that front. And then, it just got messy a couple of days ago where the VAR started coming out. The stories that while he was in prison, he passed away because there was a fire in his cell. But the body in the cell was never confirmed to be his.
Oh my God.
And his wife.
I heard a little bit about this. Yeah. I was confused.
It's just so layered. There's just so much happening. So his wife came forward to confirm that yes, it's his body, but the DNA didn't match his mother's. Anyway, to fast forward, they were doing some shopping last year in Sandton City at the ShopRite, just getting some groceries casually, when somebody recognized him. He had big longer hair and he was wearing shades, but the face of his shape, everything looked like his.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
Oh, wow.
Dude. So confirmed, him and his wife were just living their best lives. And this timeline.
But he faked his own death.
He faked his own death with,
what a story.
With the help of a lot of people also in high places. So just a side note, MacG and Saul wanted to talk about this on their podcast. So they went as far as interviewing one of the guys who actually lives in prison, who was in the same jail cell as Tabo. So they interviewed this guy, and this guy's spilling everything, all the beans, like, this is how it happened. This is who's involved. And he starts naming all the higher up officials who were part of this thing.
Oh.
Here's the thing. The catch is that Saul and MacG couldn't even release that episode because they were shit scared that if they released that episode, it's the same story that happened earlier with the guy who got killed with his son. Same WhatsApp group.
Yeah, but if you see, it's even worse if you hold on to it. Now they know you've got that episode.
That's why they didn't release it. They were like, hey.
No, but they've recorded it.
They've recorded it. It's there. It's there. It's just not out.
So you're already in danger.
They're already in danger.
The only way you actually protect yourself is by releasing it. So I hope they do.
So a lot's happening. And there's just a lot of foul play. Apparently his wife, Dr. Nandi, had rented out an apartment in Hyde Park. While they'd rented out these apartments, they start renovating. Once they renovate this house, they start selling it. Like, they try to find buyers because they're not paying the rent, but they're going to other people. Dude, it's just so messy. It's just a lot.
So this guy's like a high-level con man. He's obviously very good at this shit. So here's a bit of a breakdown. I can't read all of this, but there's this whole timeline.
It's so much. It's so much. 2011,
wow.
That's when he's convicted by the Durban High Court. 2012, that's when he's sentenced to prison. 2018, he poses from prison. This is another layer of the story. So he poses as the chairman of a 21st century media house, which is basically, he just scams everyone. He's in a prison cell. He's gathered hundreds of celebrities and people at a venue, and they all singing happy birthday to him while he's on screen in jail, dressed in a suit, but no one knows he's in jail. He's told them he's I'm in an international what. Yo, guys, so much is going on. 2020, that's when his partner, his wife Nandipa, starts to buy all these houses and starts sending documents and faking his signature and whatever, and saying, no,
while
he is in jail. No, my husband's doing an international trip, so he can't. Guys, a lot's happening. Anyway, so it's getting really hot. It seems as though there's a lot to unpack, but a lot of people are picking up on it. A lot of journalists are doing really good work. Netflix is already on it as far as getting a docu together, because what in the mafia state? Yo. Anyway, they're on the run. Long story short, they are on the run right now. If you bump into them, let your local authorities know. But,
I mean, you know, again, if you're lucky enough to get away with faking your own death in prison, and you know that they still have to get out of the country, run for the hills. I don't know. I do think that there are a lot of really dumb people involved in criminal stuff in this country. There are obviously smart people as well.
Yes.
Obvious thing to me, and this is where these especially these people who are involved in like tender fraud and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, leave the country.
I mean, I think he's dummies. Probably tried. I'm sure they've probably tried, but like, there's only so far that your scam can take you.
Please, you drive over the border. And we live in Southern Africa. We've got the most porous borders in the world. Just leave.
They're not trying to go to any of these surrounding countries, dude. They want to like, if they're going to want
to
leave.
From there, you can get to other places. Wherever you want to go.
Look,
if you've got money.
If you're a scammer and you have successfully been scamming in South Africa for however long.
This is your market for stupid.
Exactly. Right. You know the people, you know how far their thinking goes, you know how easy it is to con them. If you can pose as a CEO of a 21st century media while you're in prison, you know that this crowd is going to eat that up. At some point, he had hosted an event. Who's that lady you interviewed?
When last did they see him?
It was last year. It was last year in June.
And it's only coming out now?
It's only coming out now. But after that picture surfaced, people started doing some research, and they found that they've actually been renting out apartments and houses all over Hyde Park. They rent out, they sign everything, they pay a deposit, but then you never get your actual rent, you don't get it. While they're staying in that house, they start to renovate that house and then put it on the market and try sell it. This is like high level conning that is happening here. This is experience. This is years of fuckery. You know the market. You know the people you're dealing with. And that is partially why, you know, he probably wants to keep it local, because he knows this is where he eats. This is the man.
This is the guy. Huh?
This is the guy. Yes. Jeez. So I'm not the only one who's getting scammed, bro. Scamming is a thing. It's a real thing. It's
terrible.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. People are getting hurt in the process. You know, needless to say, when he began his thing, he was raping and hurting a lot of people back in the day.
Jesus.
Just luring them in. Yeah, it's crazy.
Another scam people don't know about, says Snipes, because you have to go to the bank to block and reverse it, is the 99 Rand off your account.
Oh, tell us more.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Is that not like bank charges or something?
I don't know.
Taraji, you remember you interviewed Taraji P. Henson?
Yes.
He put together an event. This very same Thabo guy put together an event, said Taraji's going to be in South Africa. From Empire, yes.
Yeah.
She's going to be in South Africa. Tickets are only 1,500. One-on-one conversations, blah, 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 blah. Somebody tweeted her and said, hey, what time are you landing in South Africa? She's like, landing in South Africa? I'm not coming to South Africa anytime soon. I'm shooting. I'm working. This must be false. By then, people had bought tickets. Money was in his bank account while he's sitting in prison, living his absolute best. He has clocked us as a country. This is why he keeps doing. He clocked us years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I'd done this to people.
Dude.
That's what always gets me, is like, you've got to have some conscience. These people who do this kind of stuff,
they just
don't feel anything.
It's too late for that.
There are people who are really suffering in this world. There are people who are honestly going through hell. And you're okay with taking money that is not yours, stealing it, and then going, ah, well, they were gullible enough to fall for it. Listen, of course, punishment needs to be handed out to stupidity. But I just don't know that I want to be the one with that on my conscience.
No, of course not. Well, you're a better person, Garrett. These people that we're talking about are so lost.
I would not be able to sleep.
They're gone.
I would not be able to deal with it. Yeah. I would not be able to spend a cent of that money.
What is worse is that this woman that he's gallivanting with, his wife, Dr. Nandi, has a child that she's involved in all of this. Like the child.
The child's just, involved?
The child is just like tra-la-la-la lying.
So is she a doctor?
She's a doctor who clearly doesn't really love herself enough to.
And is the child just traveling with them while they're hiding out?
The child is just traveling with them while they're going from house to house, from con to con, from scam to scam.
Jesus, you really have to be so dedicated to it. Hey? Yo,
dude,
it's a
long game.
I'm sorry I wasn't paying attention to this before now, because this is fascinating. This is probably one of the more interesting things that we've come across.
This is happening on our doorstep.
Like, holy
shit. It's happening right here, right now. And we're all just watching it unfold, wondering, how are we going to get to the bottom of it? If there is a bottom, because the fact that he can fake his death and be helped by the gods and people who are higher up in inverted commas tells you how screwed we are. Mm. Like the body didn't match his DNA. How is he still on the loose? How is he not captured? Yeah.
Dr. Nandipa.
Yeah. And she does look innocent. And Togos was saying in the comments, Dr. Nandi looks so innocent. She does. She looks like one of those sweet.
Oh, wow.
You know,
she's an attractive woman.
Sometimes it's the better looking ones that
holy
get
shit.
You.
Okay. I'm put a picture of her up here because someone just sent me a picture of her. Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I suppose bad people sometimes come in nice outfits.
Yeah. Definitely. A lot's happening.
She had a practice and everything. She was a successful
in Instagram.
Doctor.
Yeah. Like she was very open and out there. She'd always post her stuff. Like, hey guys, I'm taking, you know, you can come through, check me out. Da, 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 da. Like she was one of those positive, open, successful women. We're all rooting for her. And then to see that she was involved with Thabo, not that guy. You know, that guy is literally in the list of people you just shouldn't be involved with or have any relation to at all. Mm. And her brother has also come forward to confirm that yes, indeed, she is involved with this guy.
Jeez.
And she's actually a piece of shit.
He
described her as evil. If your own brother's going
to
call you.
And she tried to put a hit out on him?
Bro. Hey, South Africa's a movie. It's a movie.
I can't believe this is actually real.
It's real. It's real life. So what's going to happen to them? We'll find out next week on Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Like we're just sitting on the edge of our seats waiting for an update. Every day something else comes out and they're just connecting the dots. On top of that, they're sloppy. They're sloppy because everybody's got access to their information. How are we finding all of this
out? They were also posting stuff from what I've seen here on social media. Like
sloppy.
Again, how stupid do you have to be? There's something about like the kind of criminal that is also looking for attention.
Yes.
Because it would be one thing to just be a greedy son of a bitch who wants to steal other people's money and you want to live a great life.
Yeah.
But that you want to live a great life and you want other people to see it.
There's something to be said about.
It's so pathological, right?
Yes. There's something in your brain that's just not. It's not making, you know, it's not coming correct. Like that level of you want the fame and the glory and the attention, but you know, you're up to shit. How do you balance that?
And this is happening like right up the road.
Bro, Hyde Park is right here. We can go grab a lunch and then just behind there is this house that this man and his wife have
unbelievable
have not been paying rent for, but they've renovated to try and resell.
It's unreal. Wow. Okay, well, I'm so glad that you told me about this. Now at least I know what's going on.
Look it up. Like, just,
No. I looked it up. Don't you worry. I looked that shit up.
Yo, bro, a lot's happening.
Yeah.
A lot is happening.
Wow. Holy shit.
Doug.
And it gets more and more interesting and there's more and more layers to this as you go. Mm-hmm. Taking out a hit on her own brother.
On her own brother. Yep.
Well, all right. Apparently you are very concerned that there is a lack of labor laws for child influencers. I don't know that this is really you that's worried about this because I reckon of all the people I know, you're the one who wants less laws around child labor and child influences, because you could make an absolute killing with your 3,000 children.
I could be rich, right?
If each of them could be an influencer that brings in $5,000 a month.
I wouldn't have to, like, I wouldn't have to work.
No.
I could literally just
send the children to the mines.
Off you go. So why this caught my attention, Gareth, is that there's a young lady who her whole life, she was a child influencer, and her whole life has just been put out there on YouTube, on IG, whatever. Mm. So now she's probably like, she's 16, she's about to turn 17. So when social media first began, her parents saw an opportunity and they've just been putting her out there. They're right. putting her to work. And she's like,
it's like the parents of child stars have done for years.
It's all of them. You know, this has been happening.
This is what they do.
But now this is, it's kind of different in that it's like social media. So it's not like your job is going to the studio to perform or to come up with songs or to be an actor or a child star.
Sure.
You're literally, your life is just being put out there. Every time you cry, there's a video. Every time you laugh, there's a video. Mm-hmm. So this girl was pretty much just complaining and saying, you know, if I had a choice, I would have asked my parents to not put my life out there because all this attention, all this, like, she's a celeb essentially. She just genuinely doesn't want that. It's not what she wants. And her parents have forced her into this. And her parents don't have jobs, like you're saying. Like, they don't work. They don't have to do anything because the kid brings in all the bacon. She's about to turn 18. She's turning 18 and she says, as soon as I turn 18, I'm moving the fuck out of that house and I'm going to, like, get a court order to not have any contact with her parents. It's getting to that point where it's like almost psychotic. Her parents don't want her to do anything except for this. So it's messy. So she was like, if there were better child laws against child influencers, I was like, damn, this is something that hasn't been explored. Why? Because it's brand new. This is the first time we're dealing with a generation of kids who are involuntary child influencers. And again, Gareth, it's different. It's not you're going to your sweatshop and you're working. Mm. Your life is just being documented without your consent.
I think you've got to be so careful as a parent these days because, it seems like a winning thing. You know, your kid is going to bring in all this money and you're going to put it away for them. Let's say you've got all the best intentions. Let's say you're a really thoroughly good person.
Yeah.
And you are honestly looking at this and saying, it's an opportunity for my kid. Let them have a reserve when they get into their 20s. They can go to university. They can study. They can travel a little bit. They can enjoy the money that they've earned.
Yeah.
Earned in inverted commas.
Sure.
But there is the ethical question of whether or not a child should ever be earning money.
Mm, number one.
Below a certain age.
Mm.
And then you got to think about whether that's something that would make any sense to people, because throughout history, kids have gone to work at age 7, 8,
sure,
9.
Sure.
Even younger in many cases.
Yeah.
In most societies, the kids help with stuff around the house,
yes,
or the farm, or the, you know, herding the cattle or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So how can we impose, especially in sort of rural areas, how can we impose rules on the people who do that, but we don't impose rules on kids who are being turned into social media influencers?
Exactly. For me, it's the psychological effects that we're talking about. When you're a child and you have to go do chores or you have to partake in, you know, putting in your 2 cents in the house and going to work, that's completely different to I'm putting your life on blast in return for money.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is essentially just to live. And that automatically comes with these psychological effects of having people just come up to you and recognize you and, oh my word, I've watched you grow up since you were such a baby. It's the whole world watching you grow up. And as a parent, it kind of got me thinking, like, I remember there was a time I opened a social media account for one of my kids because he's just so funny.
Right.
But then I was like, nah, man, let me not do that. Let him decide when he comes of age. If he wants to do it, he'll do it. I don't want to play a part in this. If he wants to, he can. Because he watches a lot of YouTube and he does a lot of, hey guys, welcome to my show, and like and subscribe. If he wants to, but I'm not going to force all 5 of my kids to do that. Why? They have different personality types. They have different interests.
Yeah,
they don't give a rat's ass. Some of them don't care for that.
What if somewhere in the next few years, you could already see it happening with the influencers.
But yeah.
What if somewhere in the next 5 years, the most valuable thing becomes to not have any digital footprint at all?
It probably already is. There's a lot of people.
Well, I mean, some of the most wealthy people. Yeah. They're not on social media.
You're not going to see them anywhere online. Mm-hmm. And that's the real currency. So there's a very big danger here with regards to, like, as a parent, how much of your child are you? There's a person who recently found their way onto my WhatsApp and her statuses pop up. You know, sometimes people's statuses pop up. There's like a couple of statuses. Every hour, there's like five different updates of her and her kid or her kid's life, how she changes her kid's sheets and, you know, what they're going to eat today. And it's cute. It's all fun and games, but it's also like, oh, this is a lot of information about how you run your child's life. And you can see this child is also just tired of also being on camera.
Oh, wow.
Mommy,
why are we doing this again?
Why are we doing this?
Oh, that's horrible.
Dude, and I don't know how to say to her, like, yo, this is like almost like invasion of your son's privacy. All that's missing is for us to know the color of his underwear. I swear to God. Tell them what you're eating today.
But it used to be that, you know, you only had to look out for like creeps and pedophiles and things like that. But now you're like putting all this information out there.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah, you don't want people knowing that your kid does karate at this time in the afternoon or that they're taking part in this sport or it's none of their business. Like, because, especially strangers.
Strangers, right?
And it's bad enough with adults, but if people are doing this with kids.
Bro, and not only that, it's also now people that are actually.
All right, so here's the question though. If I put you in charge of this today,
sure.
Would you ban all influencers under the age of 16?
100%.
You'd say not acceptable. Any parent who does this with their child under 16, straight to jail.
Or, go directly to jail. Do not pass, begin. Well,
How do we make an ad with kids in it for TV?
We can make an ad, but we can't put the child's life out there. If we're putting on an act and we are scripting a commercial with the intention of making sales or to commercialize something, that we can do if it's a child actor. But if this is just a child living their life, who's still figuring themselves out, who still doesn't really know what's going on, I think there's a line, man. There's a line. Just try to find a balance is all I'm asking. Because you'll find yourself in a situation where your child is 17, turning 18, and will want nothing to do with you. Will want nothing to do with you because
will hate you.
They'll fucking hate you. They'll be like, you've made my life a living hell. Everybody knows what I look like when I cry, when I'm wiping my ass. Everybody knows people who I didn't want them in my, just draw the line, I think, mommies. Well, and especially because now you have these kids who are winning awards for being child influencers, who are getting tons and tons of money for being child influencers. Like, I see that, but for your child, if you know your child and their personality and who they are, you need to ask yourself if this is the right thing for them.
And I said a while ago that one of the best things I've ever seen is when I looked up my mother on Google and nothing came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty damn cool.
That's just a rare.
That's very cool, right? And Lee says here, there's a big market now for digital scrubbing. People paying a lot of money to have their digital foot minimized and edited down.
Yep. Digital scrubbing.
I think that is a big business.
Yeah.
That's a huge business. That's something that if you are in, you know, if you can make someone disappear from the internet.
People would pay a lot of money for that. People pay a lot of money for that because there's just too much out there. Like, there's a lot out there. And you're probably just doing it like in just, you know, in good faith. There's bad people out there as well.
Slippery Pickle says, with the worst spelling of this name I've ever seen in my life. Exactly, Lebung, says Slippery Pickle. Look at what happened to Macaulay Culkin. You couldn't have spelt that worse. Slippery Pickle, I don't know if you are drunk or if you've just woken up or...
I can appreciate that. It's spelled how it's said.
No, let me spell it. Let me spell it the way that Slippery Pickle has. And try and don't crash your car if you're driving, right? Mc MC Orly ORLY. Culkin spelled CULCIN. Now, you actually spell the name Macaulay, MACAULEY.
LAY,
sorry. CULKIN.
Culkin.
But not McAuley Culkin with a C. It's just, it's the worst spelling ever, Slippery Pickle. But yes, Macaulay Culkin hated the fact that he had been exploited as a child. And he was miserable about it. Mm. And for many years, he's been complaining about how he didn't want it and his parents wanted it. And, you know, you get these pushy parents as well, hey?
Because they just don't want to work. They're just like, oh, my child can make all this money. I can just sit.
Yeah, but you get these pushy parents that they might really want the best for their kid. But it's just not appropriate for a child to be doing this stuff.
It's not.
Right?
It's not. You do the work. You decided to make the child, right? The child is here. You kept it, right? Mm-hmm. You do the work. Mm-hmm. Be responsible for your own child. Do what you need to do to raise your child. Do not push the child into territories that are unnecessary. And I'm not bashing mothers who put their kids out there. Do your thing. But find the line. I beg you. Find the line. You don't want these kids to be psychologically screwed in the next 10 years because they Google themselves and everything pops up. Every single little thing pops up. No.
Well, you see, this is the other thing, is that we're so early into this.
We just don't know.
We don't know yet, right?
We don't know yet.
We actually don't know what's going to happen. Exactly. We don't know what the psychological effects of this are. Mm. We don't know what it means, whether your value is going to go down in the future because there's so much about you online.
Mm.
Might go up, but it might also go in the opposite direction. It might be the most devastating thing. It might also make it very difficult for you to get a job one day.
Exactly.
It might make it very difficult for you to fit in at school. You don't
anything.
Know.
We don't know the consequences. And I guess that's what makes it so interesting is that we're still in lab rat phase and it's already not looking good. It's really already not looking good. And you know, like these days when people go for job interviews, sometimes employers pull up your old Facebook posts from 13 years ago already.
Oh no, we know that. Yeah.
It's already happening.
That's already happening.
So what more?
Yeah.
Come on. You just type something in AI, what, and you say, what was this person doing 14 years? Pull up everything on this applicant. All the bad shit just pops up.
Well, I mean, we already know that people are going in and scrubbing their own Twitter accounts. They're like, they're going in and deleting stuff that they said 5-6 years ago because suddenly what they said then that they thought was funny is now very politically incorrect.
And they're not the same person. I'm allowed to grow.
Yeah. And you are.
Yeah.
You should
be,
especially if you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a child and you said something really stupid, but you thought it was funny back in, I don't know, 2007.
Yeah.
And now you're an adult trying to make your way in the world.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be held responsible for that.
You shouldn't. And who's going to go through all their tweets from back then?
I certainly won't.
No, not a chance.
Don't expect me to be scrubbing anything.
Yeah, no. If you find something that I say, yes, I said it. It's fine. It's out there. Do with it what you will. I don't care. But some people will sit. They'll sit, dude. And they'll say, oh my God, I said this in the year 2011 on January the 2nd.
I mean, while we're on this issue of kids and making the world a bit safer for them, apparently at American schools, they've come up with a bulletproof safe room.
Yes.
I mean, this shows you how bad things have got in America. And apparently the latest shooting, this is a really scary story.
It was like
now, just today. Yeah.
Ooh.
So the latest, right-wing school shooter, in inverted commas, turns out to be a transgender person. So number one, watch how quickly the media moves on from this story because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Yes.
So they'll pretend this didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was like a Trump supporter, it would be in the news for weeks. But this is going to be a transgender person who shoots up a school or whatever. It's obviously, you know, move on. Don't even draw attention to this. And then number two, watch as more evidence that the problem isn't assault rifles, as they keep saying it is. It's mental health.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
The only reason I can think of that anyone would go into a school and shoot a bunch of their fellow students or kids that are studying there or whatever, the only reason anyone would do that is because they've got severe mental health problems. That's the only reason.
Private Christian school.
Yeah.
Six kids killed.
Yeah.
Three of them. What is wrong? What is wrong?
It's mental health problems. You have to be completely psychotic to go and do this to children in a school. And since the first one, you remember back in, what was it, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris and Columbine all those years ago, which they're still trying to figure out. It's real big, horrible, lurid, fat mental health problems. And it goes across all political points of view. It comes from all races and backgrounds. Mm. It's got nothing to do with the narratives that you're being sold on media.
Yeah.
For someone to do this, they are sick in the head.
No, you're sick. You're sick.
Again, you may have a problem with guns. You may say, well, guns are the problem, and they're valid arguments too, and they're valid arguments against this position. But honestly, the fact that we haven't sat down and had a serious conversation about why it is that there are all these crazy people. We used to have institutions that looked after crazy people. If you go to places like San Francisco and Los Angeles now, there are more crazy people on the street living in tents than ever before, because there's nowhere else for them to go. They shouldn't be in society. They've got very severe problems.
Yeah.
This is something I want to talk to, first of all, Hanan, about, but also to Prof Szabo about.
Sure, sure.
Because at some point it became very healthy for us to discuss our mental health problems. And I'm one of those people who thinks it is a good idea.
Yeah. So,
but it also became so socially acceptable for everybody to have mental health problems that now you've got kids boasting about them.
Right? It's almost,
they list their, you know, like they list their pronouns and they list their mental. Well, I'm also, I'm bipolar and I'm very anxious and I'm on this medication for my anxiety and I'm on this medication for my, schizophrenia or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But we don't institutionalize people anymore. And maybe the institutions were really bad. We know we had that huge problem in this country with life estimating, for example.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people, it's better that they're not in society. Better for them, better for us.
It's so layered, Gareth. But I think the way that Gen Zs have positioned mental health issues as a cool thing, in inverted commas, as a cool thing to have, many of them don't even get diagnosed correctly. A lot of them are just jumping onto the bandwagon of, oh, everybody's got issues, me too. So if somebody actually does have these problems and is actually not okay, they don't even almost get the care that they should be getting. It's almost difficult to identify if this person actually has serious problems or if they're just saying it because it's fashion, for example. But in a country like America, where so much is always happening and the crazy on the scale of one to crazy and crazy is always up there, I think definitely they should put a lot more attention into how to deal and solve these kinds of cases where clearly these people aren't okay.
No.
There's a lot of illness.
And there are obviously mental health issues which you can carry on with your life and you can continue to be a part of society and you can deal with them, whether it's through therapy or medication or both.
Sure.
But there are some problems that you need to be away.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah. We got to lock them up. And those are the people roaming. Those are the ones roaming the streets. And that's the issue. Why are our children being killed? We drop off your child at school. I'll see you later.
Well, I mean, let's also point out that this is a very uniquely American cultural experience at the moment, at least in terms of the media coverage. I can't say for sure that that's the case. Maybe it's happening all over the world. I mean, we had that, you know, that incident in the tavern here in South Africa not so long ago.
Yes. Again. Yes. Oh, but that turned out to be like gang violence.
Okay. But we don't know because our police are so incompetent at actually reporting the crime stats.
Sure.
That we don't know. Maybe we're as bad as America. We don't know for a fact.
Look, there's no lesser evil. They're both just shitty situations. Awful, They're both gack. But as far as this is concerned, there's clearly an issue and a problem in America.
So what have they got? They've got these rooms that fold out.
So it's essentially a room that you, like the teacher will just pull the wall back and then it's like a safe room, but it's just bulletproof. So they are trying to install. Imagine this is how bad it is. We have to put safe rooms in every single classroom just because somebody could rock up with a gun and try to take us all out. Hi, man. It really upsets me. It really upsets me. Should we just homeschool all our kids?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people are thinking that is the way.
It's hectic. But look, I guess as far as solutions are concerned, so the teacher just pulls, you know, she pulls this, it's like two little levers and then the room just sort of folds back into like a nice little corner and then all the kids and the teacher will stay in there safe from getting shot at while they are actually supposed to just be in a schooling environment learning things.
I just want to go to some comments on that previous discussion we had about scrubbing yourself off the internet. So listen, Dumi says, It's messed up. I left socials in 2014, but there's still traces of my Facebook account.
Damn.
Zanelle says, I paid a provider to scrub my entire Twitter history. It was the time when people were being malicious and sharing your history with employers.
Ooh.
Yo.
I actually envy you guys. I wish I could just get off social media, hey? I really, really do. That is nice. Just to just like disappear, not exist.
Eminem says, oh my hat, I see some of my memories coming up on Facebook and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Nothing bad, but why on earth would I post that?
Yep.
Back in the old days, you had to talk face to face or on the landline if you had a problem. Now you just vomit your stuff at people on social media, says Wenz. Mm-hmm.
And it's, oof.
Mm-hmm. G and Lebung says, Snipes, please bring an expert on to make us understand why the whole world has to succumb to 10% of the people. Kanye proved that the Jews hold the power in America, but who controls that much power with LGBT plus? Yeah, I don't know if Kanye proved anything except that he's got major problems. Again, mental health, right?
Right. Well, some would say mental health. Others would say genius. Just depends on how you look at it.
Barefoot Blanche says mental health, especially anxiety, has become the new in thing. And that's why people that are actually suffering from mental health problems are left untreated or unnoticed.
Exactly. Exactly. Literally what I just said. It's a thing. It's a thing. If you feel some type of way, you get into a fight with your parents. Oh, they don't understand me. I've got mental illness. If you have a fight with someone at school. Oh, nobody understands me. I've got mental. And if really you do, and it is that, understood. But in some cases, it's just attention seeking. In some cases, it's just people that don't have anything going on. So they'll just want anything going on. It's unfair to the people that are actually mentally suffering. For everybody else to just kind of feel like having a mental illness every now and then when some shit goes off.
Slippery Pickle says regular enemas help to greatly reduce the symptoms of mental illness. Get your asshole clean. Angus says, It looks like all the climate doomsday prophets like Al Gore and Greta Thunberg included are scrubbing their old Twitter and Facebook posts because their ice age, global warming, CO2, coal and oil theories have crashed and burned. Yeah, that's turning out to be true. And I'm seeing more and more, expert evidence and testimony being given by people that a lot of this alarmism is completely unfounded.
Where did they were just making stuff up and we were just like believing it because it was also that time we were kind of like, we believe anything we hear or see online. So, okay, they must be right. Not all of us did like credible search
in real time. Like it started off with global warming. Do you remember? That was what Al Gore was talking about, global warming.
Yes.
Then they realized that wasn't actually happening. So then they changed it to climate change.
Yeah. It just got like a re-up. Like every 5 years, they did like PR on the same matter and just like made it more current. But like, how are they getting away with this? Just telling us whatever they feel like telling us. Yes.
It's very messed up. All right. So we've opened up a whole lot of cans of worms this morning. We got lots to talk about here. Lebung, very passionate about the idea that your kids shouldn't be earning money as social media and influencers under the age of 16. She's very much against it.
I'm gonna do a petition.
I want to talk to the CMO of Momentum, and we like to get these people in here because they can give us an idea of what's happening in the marketplace, what new trends they're paying attention to, all kinds of interesting and important stuff. And Momentum, of course, are a huge business, the fourth largest insurance group in South Africa.
Whoa.
And we're going to talk to Nontokozo Madonsela, who is the CMO there. Her career path has been defined by an uncompromising commitment to delivering smart, innovative, and memorable integrated marketing solutions across a wide variety of industries. She's been employed in various roles at some of the biggest companies in South Africa, including Standard Bank, British American Tobacco, Coca-Cola, South African Breweries, and Hollard.
Sure.
So, I mean, if there's anyone worth talking to, it's Nontokozo.
Yeah.
So what a pleasure to have you here. Thank you. How are you? You mean put on your microphone. How's it, Nontokozo?
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Good. Thanks for waking up extra early and coming in to see us.
A cup of coffee. Very necessary right now.
Damn right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a hell of a CV you got there. That's a lot of places you've been at and directed their marketing.
Thank you. And I must say, because if I don't say this, my other child won't be happy. I am the CMO for Momentum Metropolitan Holdings.
Right.
So I don't want the blue team to feel unloved.
Oh, okay. I got
because
you.
Our group looks so after you, both of those insurance brands.
You have so. To be like, Lebang has got five kids. Yes. So she has to pay
must make sure they all
equal attention.
Feel loved.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that involve on a daily basis? I mean, you obviously have to decide how to spend budgets and things, but I mean, there's way more that goes on in terms of strategy and, you know, thinking and insurance is the most competitive thing in advertising at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. So, having worked across different categories, I've come out now to know clearly that insurance is the toughest category. It's easy to sell beer. Of course.
Of course. In this country,
it's easy
as well.
To sell.
You don't even have to advertise.
It's easy to sell a carbonated soft drink. Mm-hmm. You know, the fizzy stuff. Easy. Mm. I mean, cigarettes.
Also easy
to
sells
sell.
Itself.
Then I get to banking. I'm like, how do I convince people to switch banking accounts? Then I thought that was tough.
And it is.
But it's easier than insurance. So what is involved every day is solving problems. We are always thinking about how our strategies are working. We are thinking about how do we make sure our brands are loved? How do we make sure that our brands are bought? So there's a lot of campaign work we do. We've got a rhythm in the calendar of campaigns. Agencies are always facing us and we expect more, faster and cheaper.
Yeah. Hey.
media buying, Gareth, we're always looking for deals.
Sure.
Because we don't have a lot of budget. So like what is involved every day is really partnering with my teams. We've got the most incredible team and there are many, many multiples of like intelligent people who are passionate about what they do, but we think things through together. So
from the customer or client or market point of view, I mean, the reason that I was really excited to speak to you this morning, among others, is it does seem to me like insurance companies are spending more than anyone else right now trying to get that extra customer, trying to get someone to move from this one to that one. And you guys have to spend the most on Google AdWords and things. I mean, insurance, the cost is
like
sky
super high.
Way higher than anything else.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe second is cars.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it's insurance and cars.
Yeah, it's insurance.
Those
are
the two. You turn on the TV, that's you see insurance ads.
Yeah.
Turn on radio, which I haven't done in 14 years, but supposedly insurance. you'll hear a lot of
insurance ads,
stuff there.
Go on your phone, same thing.
Phone, all the digital stuff.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's super
it's
competitive.
Crazy war out there. And it's war for the clients because there aren't new people coming into the category.
Is it like an arms race? Because if you don't spend, you get left behind.
Well, the thing about spending and marketing is always going to be a factor because, I mean, why is Coca-Cola still advertising and Nike?
Yeah.
At this point, you would think, relax, Nike.
You've done your part.
Years of people know that you're there. Mm. So I think in marketing, the thing is you've got to be top of mind all the time.
Yeah.
And then the other part is that we are in a market that is shrinking. The economy is shrinking. With COVID, like people's sources of income disappeared.
Sure.
So when one is going to assess what they can afford, given the expenses that are essential in their lives, like petrol, school fees, clothing for the kids,
you know,
lights, electricity, you know, how prices have changed.
Mm.
We tend to be the ones insurance that gets deprioritized.
Oh, definitely.
Well,
on
I mean,
list.
People always say grudge purchase, right?
Yeah.
Nobody is in love with their insurance company. I mean, you guys try to make it look like that. Not you, but like all the insurance companies try to make it look like we have some kind of relationship with you. We don't really. People are like, if they don't have to have insurance, they won't.
Yes.
But we all realize we do have to.
Because here's the thing. Like, I remember listening to a story by an actuary a long, long time ago, and this guy was an incredible storyteller. And what he actually made us realize as a team of marketing with our agencies was how your everyday life is enabled by insurance.
Okay.
Even when you don't know. Like, for example, when you get into a plane, that plane wouldn't take off without insurance.
Of course.
That when you go to a cafe at the airport and sit down for coffee, that cafe wouldn't be open without insurance.
Sure. Of course.
And then similarly, the car you drive, they won't let you get out the garage or take it from the floor without insurance.
Yeah.
So I think there is, it's a thing we need, but it's a thing that we hate to need.
Sorry, Lebang. It's also really, a very complicated business. I mean, you guys employ all these actuaries who are among the smartest people that come out of our universities. They have to number crunch about things that we would never think about, right? Like I certainly, my brain would explode if I have to do what some of these people did. Mm. But Carl asks an interesting question here in the comments. He says, you talk about moving customers and, you know, winning those customers over and we see all the advertising. Does that mean that we've reached market saturation and there are no new customers for insurance? Is that possible?
Well, it is possible because we all get these batches of data. Actually, financial services, banks and us, we look at what pool of clients are available. Then you've got to overlay the fact that, you know, there's a certain segment of the market that's moving overseas.
Yeah.
Look at the properties for sale in your neighborhood. Yeah. People are packing up. And so we're losing a bit of that. And actually it's loss in, often in short-term insurance, but it's life cover you can keep or investments you can keep because that doesn't, you know, require your ownership of the asset in the country necessarily, like a car, a house. Mm. So because now once you sell those things, obviously you are canceling all of your cover for those things as well,
right.
Your possessions. So there aren't that many people who are coming into the category because when you look at the middle market category, the bottom and also the lower market segment of the category, those are the guys that aren't necessarily getting increases the way we would want. And if there's in terms of their salaries.
Sure.
So making room for yet another expense becomes a challenge because you go to now think, okay, I need medical aid. I need hospital cover. Do I need to insure my beautiful watch? Not necessarily, right? My bicycle, not necessarily. So then it becomes a game of like what really matters.
It's a tug of war.
Totally. Yeah.
So you could probably explain to me then why there's so many new, sorry, Lipa.
It's okay. Do your thing.
New insurance companies popping up all the time. I mean, the big dependable names like Momentum, for example, they're still there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people trust that. Mm. But you see a lot of these new ones popping up.
So it's a game of innovation.
Okay.
You know, the newer guys are looking at like, how do we change the onboarding process? How do we eliminate paperwork in the process?
Sure.
How do we use new technology to onboard you? Like, for example, facial scans, et cetera, et cetera. And then like you're seeing new banks come up, you know, and they don't have the 150-year-old technologies or books that have been, you know, on the go for 80 years. Mm. So sometimes actually it becomes easier for the new guys to show up in a fancy, sexy way.
Sure.
But the trust that we have is what is the biggest equity that, you know, we hold on to, because at the end of the day, like you've seen what's happened overseas, banks come and go, like Silicon Valley Bank. How crazy was that?
Yeah, that was wild,
right?
That was wild.
Yeah. So, I want to hear your question.
Like, you know, the question I had 2 minutes ago is not the question I'm going to ask now, because that's how it is.
Yes.
So I want to find out about the new technologies that you guys are actually embracing, because on one end, of course, it would be difficult to sell insurance because it's not something that I can hold in my hand. It's not a tangible product, but I know how important it is.
Please, when you buy stuff that you can hold in your hand,
she
got scammed.
What did you buy?
Look,
let's not talk about what happened. You know, sometimes in life, you just want to buy stuff and then you end up buying like what you ordered versus what you got.
I bought some. What is that?
It's like little lights. You know, it could be for load shedding actually. It's like little lights, but they didn't look like this in the picture is the point.
God.
No insurance.
Those would be great in your garden.
That's what I thought if I was like this big, but
you should have taken out insurance. I should have. But you wanted to ask something. Go ahead.
So, cause there is a bigger market for just the tech savviness of things.
Yeah.
I don't really have time anymore to go and fill in forms and be in lines. I want to know that I can do everything on my device. So what are the tech, you know, I guess, avenues that you guys are exploring? Because I've noticed that on social media, you guys have increased your content, you've increased your visibility, and you are top of mind just because you're always out there. So are there any new tech things that you guys have applied?
Yes, there are. So for our short-term insurance clients, we've got the panic button. Or the safety button rather, which is basically the quickest way to get help.
Okay.
Should you be in an accident or should you be in your home and you feel like there's noises, you need security, at a click of that button within like the few minutes, there'll be somebody there to help you.
Yeah.
And that eliminates the, I must remember to call the cops in my area. I must wait. Da, da. And we tested it really in our office in Sandton where we phoned and there was like, you know, security company was on board. They have a way to call an ambulance if the ambulance is needed, nice. Et cetera. And that's a product that we're so proud of in our short-term insurance space.
Yeah.
On the life side of the business, we're using wearable technology, which is fantastic, which eliminates your medical onboarding process. So by scanning your face, you know, the technology can read lots of like intelligent ways.
Yeah.
The AI can read, your blood pressure level.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
You know, can get a sense. You've got to capture some of the things like your height, your weight, et cetera. But what that does is it shortens the, what you would have needed your mobile nurse for.
Okay.
And then you are able to kind of, you know, even get a quote. At the end of that process of what your life cover would look like. So those are just a few innovations. And then also there's lots in our corporate insurance space in terms of retirement businesses and disability. There's a lot of, sometimes you innovate in the service and the client experience, not in the technology. So when, you know, one goes on retirement and they need support, we've got people who make that process easier and simpler, and the advice also. We are working a lot to get South Africans to really think long term about their retirement.
Sure.
A lot of young people now are thinking they can retire at 40. Let me tell you, I'm 45. I am far from being financially ready to retire. Far from it.
Yeah.
And even the way we think about like the cost of living at the time, because some of us are driving fancy cars. We go to good holidays. We're living in beautiful neighborhoods. And we've got a lot of help at home.
Yeah. We need it.
Your pool service guy and your garden service guy. So when you think about retirement, you really need somebody to advise you.
Yeah.
And also we're seeing some people withdraw their pension funds, you know? And so when you're switching between jobs, and I made that mistake, when I was younger, and now I'm having to save twice as much to make up for.
That's right.
When I moved, I withdrew and I wanted to go on holiday and I bought my mom a couch and I wanted to upgrade my car using that money. And then you start a business. I don't know. You want to sell cupcakes. You take your money from your pension and then the cupcake business doesn't take off. You know,
no, people are doing this and it's very, very bad. You know, the earlier you are, the younger you are when you start doing this stuff, the better.
Yeah.
And you can't help it because you think, oh, well, I've been putting this money away, putting it away, putting it away.
Mm.
And you think, well, I need it now.
Yeah.
And then you do that, you make a withdrawal. So I want to ask you about what you guys are doing because I've noticed there's quite a lot going on in social media.
Mm.
So what's your strategy there in terms of kind of getting people talking and being part of those conversations?
Yes. Yeah. So we've been on the journey to reposition our brands actually I've been in my role for nearly 6 years now. And we had to elevate our momentum to say that we're seen as progressive, as a brand that people can relate to.
Sure.
So we first made sure that we understood what success means to people because that's the anchor narrative of the brand, enabling your success.
Yeah.
One of the big, big trends is around inclusivity, diversity and belonging in as far as, women, the queer community, people with disabilities, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we are a massive supporter of women, through our campaign, She Owns a Success, which comes around every August. And we try to keep the conversation going because our insight was there is that, Gareth, you guys are so brave. You could be called to handle fixing a car you've never fixed, my brother, but you will walk away with a deal. You'll be like, I got you. Mm. You want to change your engine? Gareth Cliff's your guy.
I would be useless.
You've got friends like that.
I've probably been ripped off more than you can imagine.
Then you get out to the meeting, you're like, yo, dude, I need you. Come, let's fix the car. Meanwhile, I'd be like, I've never fixed a car. I'm not good for this. So we wanted women to have the confidence in the boardroom, tell their story confidently. Some of us struggle with compliments. So if somebody's like, yo, you are so good at what you're doing, we're like, no, no, shame. It's the whole team. And then the guys are like, yo, yeah.
Thanks,
I've got
this
thing. Yes, yes. In fact, my numbers are growing like this. So She Owns the Success is really just to say to women, own who you are. Your CV never speaks for itself. That's a lie. When you're like, my CV, my accomplishments speak for themselves. No, they don't. Your voice is still needed.
Sure.
And then the other part is we're advocating for women in sport. We are partners with the G Sport organization, which is the only awards, a platform for women, who are doing brilliantly in their sports. And we are also advocating to close the sponsorship gap, for women, because we've had a long relationship with cricket and we then moved on to supporting women in cricket, and when they got our sponsorship, it elevated their game so much. Sure. You can imagine as a club to have a big brand.
That makes a huge difference.
It makes a massive difference. Mm. And a lot of women, because of the lacking sponsorship, are having to do their sport as a side hustle.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you've got to work by day, go practice in the evening so that you can put food on the table. Mm. We've got Sarah Kumalo, who is an incredible mountain climber, who has climbed, you know, and broken records. And she too needed to work.
I think we've had
her
on the show already.
Yeah. But you know, through our sponsorship, she's able to focus and continue to kind of break records and raise the South African flag high. So those are the key things that Momentum cares about. And then on the metropolitan side, we really care about enabling the youth. The brand is about galvanizing the collective to solve together. Hence the pair of planners, together we can.
Sure.
And we brought it alive through enabling young people who are in specific industries like farming, like catering and hospitality, to work together, get coaches, get support, get advice financially so that their hustles can become more stable and more young people can be employed. And so those are the two main thematic narratives, if you like, that our brands are putting out. Yeah. We don't have a lot of budget, so we have to make digital media work.
Right.
It's
but
a
I mean,
game
that's
of,
also where people are.
That's,
you know?
Everyone,
that's
yeah.
where people are, especially the younger people. Mm. And I also think it's a, you know, often it's a war of in creativity.
Sure.
You know, it's the best idea. I always say you don't need a lot of money to stand out. It would help.
Yeah.
But if your idea is brilliant,
enough, of course,
you will get noticed, and people will engage with your content.
It almost sounds like you guys are looking at the more organic way to connect with people versus just kind of putting things out there that are maybe trending or whatever's cool to be talking about. And in all of your years of experience, how have you sort of taken that and applied it in this new strategy of being more visible and being online? I mean, I'm sure there's certain patterns that you've picked up about from the previous ways that you used to market that you are now applying in the social media way.
So I usually say to my team, we've got to know what we call the human truth. So why should my mother, who is out in Richards Bay, care about the story we're telling?
Sure.
And I think often when good ideas are ideas where you're like, oh my God, they nailed it.
You know, when
they, like the way they're coming across in this campaign and that campaign is just beautiful.
You get it.
You get it. Yes. And they understand you.
And it feels like it's not a marketing message.
Yeah.
It feels like it's actually just something you go, oh, that's great.
That's fantastic.
Makes me smile or makes me laugh or makes me think.
Exactly. And so we spend a lot of time just understanding those insights or those truths.
Yeah.
What I say to people is the fact that it's on a digital platform or it's on TikTok or it's on Google or that is a secondary layer.
Sure.
The most important and how often.
That's just the delivery mechanism.
Yeah. And we watch these TV shows. And I say to my team, call the thing what it is.
Yeah.
And if you think about Married in 90 Days, Say Yes to the Dress, they're calling the thing what it is.
And
Cooking with Jeremy.
Yes.
You know, hiking with Gareth. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You are
Gareth show. Never going to get that.
Hiking with LeBunk.
Yes.
Also never
going to happen.
or sipping wine with Lebang, yeah, you know?
Could possibly happen. So the realer, the better is what I'm getting from you. No, I get it. That's it.
Well, I'm very pleased you managed to make it here this morning and come and say hi, because there were lots of things, as you could tell, that both of us wanted to ask you. And I'm really pleased that we got to have you come and visit us at our new place. We only moved in here about four and a half, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, we just arrived.
Thank you. But if there's one thing I want to ask people to think about, which we've learned through COVID, guys, get your wills sorted out.
Oh, big, big time. Yeah. And people don't think about it. And then when it happens, it's too late. And then the people who depend on you are stuck.
Yeah. So get your wills sorted out. And I also want to say, if there's any opportunity for you guys to just understand that world, estate planning, human speak.
Yeah.
The tax implications. You know, when you inherit your mom's house, you have to register, pay tax. And often most of us don't think about those costs.
Not sure. And then they come knocking on your door a couple of years later.
Yeah.
So I would say that's a whole other thing that you guys.
No, well, maybe that's something that we should talk about together. But thank you very much for
popping by.
Ntokozo. Great pleasure to meet you. And that's it for us, guys. It's just after 8. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. CliffCentral.com.